Today we stand at the gate of the year, the gate of 2024. Yes, it's New Year's Eve. So will you be staying up and seeing the new year in? Will you be celebrating with family and friends? Do you have plans to go and visit somewhere where there are fireworks? Well, this morning our journey takes us not into the world of today, but into the timeless wisdom of Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and the liberating truth found in Galatians chapter 4. Our destination is peace. Not necessarily peace in the world, but peace in our hearts. Peace in our hearts for 2024. And as we start out on our journey, we're going to look to understand God's timing, his divine intervention into the world, and his redemption of it. Then we'll reflect on the past year and consider embracing peace in every season. And finally, we'll look at practical steps for cultivating peace whilst living as heirs of God's promises. So firstly, let's refer to Ecclesiastes chapter 3, which is on page 670 of the Bible, of the Pew Bibles. We're going to read verses 1 to 8. It's titled A Time for Everything. There is a time for everything, and a season for every activity under the heavens. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to uproot. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to tear down and a time to build. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to scatter stones and a time to gather them. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to search and a time to give up. A time to keep and a time to throw away. A time to tear and a time to mend. A time to be silent and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time for war and a time for peace. So there in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, we encounter the beautiful prose of King Solomon, who under the nom de plume of the preacher poetically unravels the reality of life's seasons. Solomon's thoughts are summarized in verse 1. There is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens. Solomon is saying that timing is important. All the experiences listed in the seven verses that follow are appropriate at certain times. The secret to having peace with God is to discover, accept, and appreciate God's perfect timing. He also says there's a real danger in doubting and resenting God's timing, for this can lead to despair, can lead to rebellion, or moving ahead without his guidance. That's definitely not a recipe for success. As we read through verses 2 to 8, we can feel the pendulum swing from one emotion or activity to its opposite. The pendulum swinging through the activities and emotions which even today make up our real lives. Perhaps as we reflect on the passing year, we realize that time is a gift from God, each moment carrying a purpose. There is a time for everything under heaven, and a time for everything in a rhythm that is divinely orchestrated. As we stand at the gate of this new year, we need to remember that God's timing is perfect. In every joy and trial, his hand guides the unfolding of our lives. It's God's hand that is there at the beginning, and it's God's hand that's there at the end of our lives. And it is in the trusting of his timing that we find the bedrock of the peace that we seek. So we move now to consider God's divine intervention and redemption. And as we do so, let's refer to Galatians chapter 4, which can be found on page 1170 in the Pew Bibles. We're going to read from verse 4. But when the set time had fully come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. Because you are his sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but God's child. Since you are his child, God has made you also an heir. So, in Galatians chapter 4, we find there the Apostle Paul unveiling the divine masterpiece to us, God's intervention into human history. Not forgetting that timing is critical, the Apostle Paul tells us that at just the right time, Christ entered the world, bringing with him the promise of redemption and sonship. As we celebrate the birth of our Saviour, we can recognise that his coming transforms our status from slaves to heirs. I found a good description of God's timing of the birth of Christ, which says it better than I ever could. The writer writes, "When the fullness of time came, God's timing is always perfect. He's never a moment early, nor ever an instant late. The fullness of time came when every word of prophecy that should have been given had been given. Not a word less, not a syllable more. Every ear that should hear had heard. All the receptive minds of faithful servants, the fearful hearts in need of encouragement, the wavering doubters, even the stubborn fools and the hardened rebels who railed against the rule of Almighty God. Every person destined to hear had heard. Beginning with those who first heard the prophets speak, down to the one who listened to the scriptures being read the night before the word was made flesh. The word had gone forth and not returned void. The sound rebounded to heaven's throne, accomplishing precisely what the author intended. Salvation for many, destruction for others, but in every instance, glory to God. The fullness of the time found the perfect tyrant on the throne in Jerusalem, the perfectly ruthless emperor reigning in Rome, the correct carpenter labouring in Nazareth, the exact band of shepherds dozing on the hillside near Bethlehem, the designated governor ordering a census, and the ordained stargazers in their Persian observatory gathering the very gold, incense and myrrh reserved from before the founding of the earth for that moment. In the fullness of the time, every sparrow and every insect was in place, every star and every planet, and each grain of sand, every ripple of every stream, every atom of the universe was in its perfect location. And the chosen maiden in Galilee heard and obeyed in the fullness of time. When the fullness of time came, sin was as filthy and foul as it ever would be. The fullness of time, hell gaped wide to devour the human race. Eden was spoiled and Canaan was conquered. The prophets were long dead and the promises nearly forgotten. When the fullness of the time came, the temple of Zion was corrupted and vain. The teachers of Israel were strangers to grace. Darkness and ignorance held sway over the race on just the right day. When the fullness of time came, God sent forth his Son. You know, when I was at school, I can still remember it. In history, we talked about events happening either BC or AD. I understand it's sort of changed since then. And now we talk about events happening either BCE or CE, before the Christian era or in the Christian era. It seems to me that God's special timing has been recognised by all the historians. Every time we mention that an event happened BCE or in the CE, then we're recognising God's special timing. We're recognising God's intervention into human history. We live in the Christian era, the era which follows the birth of Christ. We live in an era which holds new beginnings and redemptions for us. The new year we're expecting tomorrow, symbolising a fresh beginning, a redemption of time. It is through Christ that we're not bound by the mistakes of the past, but rather liberated to embrace a future filled with hope and promise. So as we move to reflect on the past year, let's reflect on the highs and lows. And in those highs and lows, God's presence has been unwavering. As we consider the challenges and blessings, let gratitude fill our hearts, recognizing the faithfulness of our Heavenly Father in every season. For as the pendulum has swung through the tides and emotions of activities in 2023, we can be assured that God and Jesus have been walking with us each and every moment of every day of 2023. You know, looking back, there have been some momentous events in 2023. We've celebrated a king's coronation. We may well reflect too that there's not been much peace in the world. There have been wars in what used to be known as faraway places, but they seem much closer these days. And they seem to have had, those wars seem to have had a real knock-on effect on our own day-to-day lives. And as we have moved through 2023, it seems that the news programmes have been filled with the devastation of a new conflict on a regular basis, telling us about the ghastly devastation of people's lives without the hope of any peace. They've moved us on from other catastrophes, such as the war in Ukraine, the devastation of the earthquake in Turkey, the devastated lives of those in Syria, in Afghanistan, and those other places that Norma mentioned in prayer. The news teams have passed through as they journey on to the next crisis. So there's not much peace in the news programmes of today, but it's still peace that we seek. We seek to embrace peace. Someone once said that, contrary to popular belief, peace is not the absence of challenges. Ecclesiastes teaches us that there's a time for everything, including a time for peace. Maybe it's significant that they're in the list of emotions and activities. The final mention of that list is that there is a time for peace. Maybe the preacher was indicating that it is embracing God's timing in all our activities that we will find peace. True peace is found not in the absence of difficulties, but in trusting God's plan for every season of life. As we enter the new year, may our hearts be anchored in the divine peace that passes all our understanding. But there's one or two things that we can do ourselves. So I want to look at some practical steps that we can make for cultivating peace. And I think that the giver of this peace is the Holy Spirit. He gives us a peace that's called, in Hebrew, called shalom, which is much more than this absence of challenges. But it's a joy, a peace that sees us through those challenges by trusting in God. But we can't do that on our own. We can't get this peace on our own. We need the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And we can do that by cultivating a relationship with the Holy Spirit, by taking initiatives ourselves. And we should commit to intentional prayer and talking to God and the Holy Spirit, not just with a list of requests, but talking about our lives and concerns. Then we might listen to him and hear when he speaks to us. Perhaps we should commit to pray, seeking God's guidance in all matters of our lives. Gratitude too becomes a powerful tool in fostering a peaceful mindset. St. Paul, in his first letter to the Thessalonians, writes, "Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." And let's not forget the significance of community. Is not the thrust of all the letters in the New Testament the building of community amongst those churches of Christians? And so it is today that we need the support of our fellow believers to help us on our journey of faith. On our journey as we live as heirs of God's promises. St. Paul reminds us from his letter to the Galatians that through Christ we are sons and heirs of God's promises. Paul wrote earlier in that letter to those Christians in Galatia, in chapter 3 and verse 28, "There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free. There is no male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus." So we can all be assured of God's divine promise that when we repent of our sins, accept Jesus as Lord both with our hearts and on our lips, then we are all heirs with Jesus and sons of God. As we step into the new year, let us celebrate this assurance. The love and provision God extends to us as his beloved children. May our mindset be one of hope and joy, anchored in the promises of our faithful Creator. Brothers and sisters, as we conclude our reflections this morning, let us carry with us into the new year the profound truth that God's timing is perfect. His redemption is real, and in Christ we are heirs to his promises. Not forgetting that it is out of our complete acceptance of Jesus as our Lord and Saviour that our souls will find that divine peace which passes all understanding. May that peace which passes all understanding guard our hearts and minds in the coming year. And as the clock ticks towards midnight, let us enter the new year with hearts filled with gratitude, hope, and a profound peace that can only come from our Saviour, Christ Jesus. May you be blessed by God in the year ahead. May he bless you abundantly. Amen.